This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome into the Eric Zane Show podcast, a daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures. From right here in the Impact Power Sports studio, Impact Power Sports. Great place in Rockford, Michigan to pick up a brand new Yamaha golf cart, perhaps an e-bike, perhaps a scooter, motorcycle, side-by-side, ATV, UTV. You name it, they have everything you need at Impact, not to mention a full-service department over there at Impact Power Sports. Thank you to them. They just signed up for another quarter of marketing. I appreciate you, Drew. And Ron and all of the gang over there. You guys are special. All right, so I'm going to pick this up with more horrific forgetting of names. I was out helping MC a golf outing for the Grand Rapids Gold. Every year I do this event. Every year I see the same faces. Every year I don't know who I'm talking to. One new face showed up that hadn't been there before. It was a comedian, Matt Loria. Hey, Zane, how are you? I go, hey. What's up? And then the name Matt hit me. I go, okay, good. I got it. This is going to be a good day. But I couldn't remember his last name. So I'm like, yeah, Matt. Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, Matt. And then I felt like I was, I don't know, it was just bad. Becca Shea says, did you meet the new coach? Yes, he walked up to me, said, hello, I am blah, 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 blah. And I went, yeah, great to meet you, sir. It was terrible. And the guy played in the NBA for, like, I think 75 years. I think he's like a Hall of Famer. And I'm like, I'm an idiot. Another guy comes up to me. He goes, what's up? Easy, what's up? I go, hey, man. Yeah, right home. Fuck yes. Shake his hand. And my look is, it's evident. I know what they're seeing on my face is telling them that I have no fucking idea who this person is. And it's true. So I'm interacting with dude, and I'm like, you know, all the while I'm trying to figure it out. It's driving me nuts. It's an awkward moment. Later on, I said to Phil Cronin, my right-hand man over there, I go, hey, who the fuck is that guy? He goes, that's Logan, the assistant coach. You introduce him every game. I go, ah, God damn it. So later on, I'm like, well, hey, see you later, Logan. I'm like trying to make up for it, you know? It's so bad. One of the guys from the West Michigan Whitecaps showed up, and I remember last year the same thing took place where I was like, yeah, hey, what's going on, man? And then last year I had to go to like the West Michigan Whitecaps page on like their website and look up front office. Oh, that's the guy. But it didn't stick because I'm looking it up again yesterday. There's this sweet lady from Hope Network who... fucking up that name too. Anyway, Hope Network lady who I know. But you know, this is all about like I'm saying this and I'm only 15% joking. I've been reading up on dementia. And my dad has dementia. And his mother had dementia. It's safe to say I'm probably going to be shitting in my hand and throwing it at people one day. So I don't, you know, I don't just say, it's nothing. I don't ever rule that out because one of the early signs of this is what I am experiencing right now. Okay. I did read that many years before you're diagnosed, you start to have issues with your sense of smell. And thank God, not always, but thank God I haven't had that. But, I mean, this is fucking terrible, man. Megan says, did Meathead do that? I don't know. I don't recall. Hope Network lady. I'm killing myself. I'm beating myself up because I can't even remember that one. Who I actually work with her. When they need like an MC, I'll go and I'll host the event. Super sweet. Nicest people on the planet. I don't want to stop the story by looking it up right now. But I need to do that later on. Anyway. Her hubby walks up. I go, hey. See, L'Oreal was there. The comedian, he was part of Sports Hecklers. Is this? He's, you know, you get hired to show up at one of the tees and you heckle the golfers. So L'Oreal was there and another guy. And so I didn't know the other guy. I just knew Matt. I hadn't even seen the other guy who runs this company called Sports Hecklers. But I know there's a second one. And a guy walks up and he's standing next to L'Oreal. I go, hey, is this your guy from Sports Hecklers? And the guy goes, no, I'm Aaron. This is the third time I've met you. And it's the husband of Hope Network lady. And I'm like, fucking shit. And then, though he just told me his name, shortly thereafter, I referred to him as Adam. And he goes, Aaron, still Aaron. And I'm like, I feel so uncomfortable at these things. Any type of arrangement where there's people around and I may know them. It's horrible. So it was one thing after another. And thank God my guy Phil is next to me. I go, hey, who's that? What's his name? Who's that? What's that person's name? It's bad. Amy says, dementia is just so awful. It seems like Meathead is a happy dementia patient, so that's a small positive. I do hear some stories through the grapevine that he kind of gets a little bit temperamental at times. But here's hoping, you know. By the way, there are 7 stages of dementia. And because like I said, I was reading up about this and doing some looking into it on my own. And there's various symptoms that accompany each stage. He is a 7th stage dementia patient. Like, this is it. Typically, dementia patients live for a year to 2.5 years in this stage. And this is probably going to, I mean, at some point, it sounds awful. I don't mean to bring the room down, but, you know, the dementia patient loses language ability, loses ability to speak. I mean, it's the worst fucking thing ever. That terrible. It isn't like it stops, you know? It's a horrific thing. I was reading some of the mechanics of how it takes place in your noggin, and it's not pretty. Something about proteins and plaques forming where they shouldn't be. Molly is here. Molly, are you joining book club? I mean, I know that that was new to you, and I know that Brandis was talking about it too, but holy cow, book club is getting ready to fire up again. We have a show tonight. We have book club to finish up, the Big Fraud Book Club, the book Martyr, which, what a disaster this was. And so we're going to meet on Patreon to discuss this book. I don't see this discussion going that long. There were some interesting points to it, but my impressions, my first impressions of thoughts on this book, and I know I should save this for the show, was you have a guy who's way too smart to be writing books. He gets, this writer, Kaveh Akbar, he gets in his own way of his storytelling with his brains. He feels the need to go too deep on shit with superfluous details. This book could have been 8 pages. Do not read the book Martyr. We have a new book that you can order and read. I just got mine. I had the big Amazon discount, so what was $13.50, I got it for like $6 for the book Way of the Shadows, or Shadow Warrior, or Walk with Me in the Shadows by Bill Haley and the Comets. It's some fantasy book. I don't know what the fuck it's called. I keep forgetting it. I can't. Way of the Shadows? It's got to be Way of the Shadows. Walk in My Shadow. Shadow People. Bread Bowl Brain Chris, talking about Kaveh Akbar, says, well, he's not a storyteller technically. Yeah, he's a poet. Becca Shea, are we still going to review documentaries? Yep. It's going to happen. Linda wanted me to watch What's Wrong with Tuesdays with Maury or something like that. What's Wrong with Aunt Diane? What's Wrong with Diana? It's a documentary about what's wrong with some chick named Diana or Diane. And I haven't had a minute. All right. The Way of Shadows by Brent Weeks. Thank you. There's something wrong with Aunt Diane. So, yes, we are going to do that. But so I might have some time to catch up and actually watch that this weekend while I'm up north at Fear Bunker North. It is on YouTube for free. So if you can consume that, we will turn around an episode of Who Are These Documentaries? Documentary, Big Fraud Documentary Review. I don't even know a name for it that would flow off the tongue. Bread Bull Brain Chris says the new Charlie Sheen documentary is really good. I think there's also one that's on about Adnan Syed, who his case is what prompted the audio podcast Serial. That's on Max, I believe. Becca Shea says, I already watched that one too. It was really good. I think next week we can do a documentary review for the one that Linda wanted to watch. What's Wrong with My Aunt Diane? Something like that. Yeah, there it is. What's Wrong with Aunt Diane? That's the name of it. Okay. Tyler says, I could get behind Big Fraud Documentary Review on Patreon on a regular basis. Without a doubt. And that's the beauty of having the ability to podcast and do specific shows about specific things. I love that too. Murder Lover Linda says, I don't have Max anymore. Anyone want to share their login? If you do, you can reach out to Linda on your own or through Patreon. Amanda says, yes, the next one to watch is Dear Zachary. That might be good, too. We got a lot lined up for the Big Fraud Documentary Review shows. Man Bun Chris amazingly asked me a question that I was just going to talk about this. So that's so cool that you did that. How did school go, EZ? Class yesterday was outstanding. And I had to lower my expectations about the subject matter and them, what I'm saying, and them consuming it. I've had to wrap my mind around the idea that everything you're saying in a lecture is boring as fuck, no matter what it is. No matter what the topic, it's going to be boring as fuck. Doesn't matter what the class is. They don't want to be there. It's tough to be enthusiastic. You have to put yourself into the mind of the student. So I just plow right through. And when I see them staring at me like I have three heads, don't react. That is the best advice. I've had a crash course on how to speak in front of young people publicly about something that might interest them somewhat. But again, they're taking the class to get a grade. You know, it's not like they're there because, oh, I can't wait to learn about a podcast. Tyler says, yeah, college kids are just thinking about drinking and hooking up. There was a homecoming celebration over the weekend, and I was told ahead of time that some of these students might still be fucked up. I don't think they were, though. We had almost full attendance. I think one person did not show. But I had my lecture notes because I assign a chapter for these folks to read. And then I read the same damn thing. And then the way I do it is, whatever they're reading, I'm taking notes off of the text with my own commentary about the text. Does that make sense? Like, I want to know what they read. I got to have it down, and I got to have my own thoughts on what they read. So what they've read is boring as shit. It's the worst. I mean, think about it. Anytime they say, yeah, read, you're like, ah, fuck. So I like to read what they read, break it down into my own words, maybe some insight, maybe an anecdote or two. I know we were talking about something that is extremely boring, the technical aspect in radio of using a dump, a 7-second delay, or in some cases a 7.5-second delay or a 15-second delay. And so I'm explaining to them how this works. And the thing about when you're talking to them, you can't get too in-depth about any one thing. You got to drop the knowledge and move on to the next thing. Okay? Now, ultimately, I don't expect them to write every word down. Hell, I don't even give a shit if they don't write any words down. But what I'm going to do is, out of all these lectures that I've had to do, I'm going to create a study guide of testable material. This may show up on a test. So several pages worth. I'll write the study guide. Here's your study guide. Here's what's important. Some of it may be on the test. Some of it may not. You don't know. Study away. There you go. I lectured for one full hour. And again, my goal is to not see eyes drooping or falling asleep. I had one nose picker, saw the nose picker, and I see it all. And when I see these things, I don't react. Was watching the nose picker pick his nose right in front of me. And then when Dr. Avery was speaking, there was a guy falling asleep. But I'm eye contact the whole time. I'm looking around the room, and I'm like a fucking hawk. Because if I get someone nodding off, it's gonna break my heart. It's the equivalent of bombing, like a comic bombing. You know, if you're putting somebody to sleep, oh my God. So the goal is no sleepy eyes, and I did not have one set of sleepy eyes. Man Bun Chris says, has anyone said they listen to this podcast? No, I sure hope they don't. And if they do, don't tell me. When describing what a dump is, I told the story of the Scientology conversation on my old show. We're doing a deep dive on the HBO documentary called Going Clear. And Steve, because he sucks, pulled the audio, and he doesn't listen to the audio. Like, you're supposed to listen to the audio and then take out the nasty words or bleep them and then listen to the whole thing again. And if you don't do it that way, while you're actually doing the edits, you might get caught up in what you're doing and not paying attention to the actual swear words that you're editing. You'll miss some. Well, again, because he sucks, he missed some. He didn't go over and listen to it, and he fucked the whole thing up. It might have been Steve, or it might have been Joe, but I think it was Steve. But Joe would do that too, and I'd say to them every time, I go, okay, so is it clean? Yes. Okay. And then you play it, and it's not clean. Well, that was the case. So playing it, and you hear, fuck! And right away, I look at Steve or Joe, whoever the fuck was supposed to edit it, and I'm like, and then Greg hits the dump. We continue on with the conversation. It's always a little bit disconcerting, but you've got a 7-second delay. It doesn't matter. And hopefully you know how that works. All you need to know for this story is that it just makes the bad word go away. And I had to explain that to the students. It was terrible. All of a sudden, text messages, emails, Facebook comments. Hey, did you guys intentionally leave that fuck in there? So we're doing nonverbal looks, you know, to each other, like, and you know, pointing to our eyes and then pointing to the computer or highlighting it. And hey, did you see this? And then Greg sees it and he's like, okay, we're going to come back with more of this great conversation after these. Run to the commercial, come back. Hey, what the hell's going on? People heard what they shouldn't have heard that. So then I remember who it was, a chick named Annette. She's this adorable Filipino lady who was a longtime friend. And I called her, I go, so were you listening online? Was it online listening? Because that doesn't get dumped. It's only the terrestrial radio. She goes, yeah, I was listening on an actual radio and I heard fuck. And I'm like, okay. All right, I think we got confirmation. We had a fuck. Rather than just ignoring it, we should have just ignored it. This was a huge mistake on our part. I was always came from the school of beg for forgiveness. Okay. Hey, did this happen? Yes, we're sorry. But we decided, hey, it'd be a good idea to get out in front of it. Now, this backfired so bad because we got out in front of it and we told whoever was in charge, probably that piece of shit, Russ, that massive pussy. Alan says, I remember that. Holy fuck, was that funny. And Russ freaks out and he calls like a all hands on deck meeting with all the brass from this fucking company. People that don't even live where we live. And they decide, all right, we have decided what must be done. There was a bad word said on the air, and though no one complained about it, we must suspend everyone involved. They must serve a 1-week suspension without pay. And we must appeal to the FCC and we must turn ourselves in and inform them that we have suspended all of these terrible bad actors who have made it so that our airwaves were polluted with the word fuck. And may God have mercy on our souls. We're like, no. Don't do that. I got a better idea. Don't do anything and pretend it didn't happen. No, we must act. We must protect the public. Now, it's true. If you get cited for indecency, it's a $450,000 fine. and this was an indecent word that was said on the radio. It sounds ridiculous, but it's true. If somebody, but this is what would have to happen. Some asshole would have had to have been listening and gotten the audio and then submitted it to the FCC along with a formal complaint saying, oh my God, someone said F and I'm ruined. And then they would investigate you're guilty until proven innocent. And then, you know, that's that. So $450,000, we would have been guilty. $450,000 times 50. Yeah. Of 50 radio stations. So what's the math on that? Everybody, they'd all have to pay the same goddamn fine. It's $450,000 times 50. That's $22,500,000 for a fuck. So they're losing their shit that that's going to happen. And my response was, fuck you. It's not, it, fuck it. Don't worry about it. It's fine. Nope. So we were able to convince them to not, I forgot who got, I know that, okay. And then who they suspended, this is ridiculous. There's this nerd named Mike who works in like a back room of the radio station surrounded by millions of dollars worth of equipment. The heat generated by these pieces of equipment makes it so that the room's like 165 degrees in there. And he just sits in there sweating, smelling like a homeless guy's nutsack and kind of like stewing in his own juices and doing computer shit. The equipment was faulty, but he got blamed for it because he's the head engineer. So that guy, he's had nothing to do with this. And he got suspended for a week. They didn't suspend us because we had the juice. They wouldn't dare suspend us. Hey, it's Eric Zane, and uncommongoods.com is a great place to shop for the holidays. I just picked up a Himalayan salt barbecue plank. It's a square, 8 inches by 8 inches, inch and a half thick, made of Himalayan salt. You put it on the grill and your veggies on top of the Himalayan salt barbecue plank. Oh my gosh, what a way to season the veggies with the Himalayan salt barbecue plank. Just one of the thousands of items for sale for everyone at uncommongoods.com. I love that when you're shopping for Christmas gifts at uncommongoods.com, you've got stuff for readers, for nerds, for travelers, for foodies, sports fans, for music lovers. Everything under the sun can be found at uncommongoods.com. The kids are like, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? And I go, well, just go to uncommongoods.com and find something that you know I'll like. And you can do the same thing. And I've got a special deal for you. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zane. That's uncommongoods.com/Zane. You'll get 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Hello, friends. Your old pal Eric Zane with a word about ultra premium CBD gummies with real botanicals from my friends over at Secret Nature. This is like the best thing that's happened to me in a long time. I partnered with them. You can learn more at secretnature.com/Zane, and you'll also get a special deal there. But my gosh, during the daytime, I've got a daytime gummy that helps me stay focused, gives me steady lift. It's a fantastic, clean vibe within my system. Prior to Secret Nature, I found during the day that I was up and down, and I was like, what is happening to me? But ever since I started using the ultra premium CBD gummies with real botanicals from Secret Nature, those problems are in the past. And people say to me, EZ, when you're talking about this, what do you mean by a clean feeling? I'd say steady, balanced, not overpowering. I just get more done and feel better throughout the day. Probably because Secret Nature is organic, farm-grown, never lab-made. Ultra-premium CBD gummies with real botanicals. Nothing extra. The best in the business. Bliss is what I use during the day for clear focus and productive flow. I want to wind down? Snoozers. Unwind and rest at the end of the day. Consistent, measured CBD per gummy, so there's no guessing. Intentional formulations that feel clean and slot naturally into your routine. Now, this is where you try it. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with code Zane. That's secretnature.com, code Zane. Try Bliss during the day, snoozers in the evening, and let me know how it goes. Again, 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with code Zane. secretnature.com, code Zane. Secret Nature.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
So they suspended this guy and threatened him with firing who had nothing to do with it. And then there was this other patsy, this program director named Johnny, who was the nicest, sweetest, most kind pussy you have ever met in your entire life. Just as gentle. It was like this. Hey, guys, do you think maybe you could talk about this concert we're all going to be at, except you guys, that's going to be over at City Park. Fuck you. Get out of here. Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, go fuck yourself. And so they suspended him too. This poor slob. He had nothing to do with it. Alan says, why didn't they suspend Steve? Because we said no. We said, well, we need all our guys. We got to have all these people here to do this show. We can't suspend any of us. I mean, come on. We had nothing to do with it. We just did our jobs. It's true. Steve or whoever edited that fucked it up. Probably should have been suspended, but nobody got suspended on the show. It was just these two patsies. Though that's a great story. These were the looks I got while telling it. But I got the lecture done. Got in, got out, and then we had to do a couple other things class-related. They broke off into their podcast groups, and they were given the assignment. All right, it's time to make your first half of the year podcast. You've been given all the information that you need. You can now do your podcast, and I had to go and set up the lab or the studio. So I did all that while the teams broke off to come up with what they're going to talk about on their podcast. And they had to like submit it on a show rundown, basically. And the assignment is 3 30-to-60-minute podcasts. Done, ready to go. So that means I've got a lot of listening to listen to, shows to listen to. And no, I'm not going to feature them here for now. Piano Fingerbanger says there's a real thing called the Gen Z stare, which I have noticed. He says, I have noticed. And then he says, Skyline, I interact with them. That's the second time I've heard of the Gen Z stare, you saying that. There was an article about it. What is the Gen Z stare? There's a Wikipedia entry. The Gen Z stare is a phrase coined by social media users to describe a blank stare that members of younger generations give in situations where a verbal response would be more common. There have been times when I've been talking and I've tried to involve them, maybe get some input, ask a question, and I try not to wait too long for a response. You know, I'm scanning and looking, stare. Okay. And it's got to be quick. I don't want it to be awkward, but I have stuck my neck out hoping for, you know, get a little feedback maybe. That's okay. I don't hold it against them. I just, you know, at the end of the day, I want them to all to be a success in what they do. I don't want to beat them up. And I put it on me. If I get a Gen Z stare, I have to do a better job at providing content that is not Gen Z stare worthy. Okay. If you can, it's kind of like old Blue Eyes said, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. If I can not bomb in front of them, there's hope. But that is the epitome of a tough crowd. While there are several definitions for the stare, the most common meaning is a vacant expression a Gen Zer gives in response to a question. The stare occurs in classrooms, restaurants, work settings. The term Gen Z stare garnered widespread coverage in the mainstream media just this past July. This has actually been explored in research conducted by someone known as Caden Jones. Possible causes regarding Gen Z stare. A professor at the University of Alabama said the look became more prevalent on campus following the COVID-19 lockdowns. See, I don't buy this because I think that when I was their age, you'd get a Gen X stare. Okay? You got to look at the what you're dealing with as an instructor. Think about the things that they could be doing. This is why I give any member of a class the benefit of the doubt. If I'm listening to some dickhead like me talk about a dump button, in my brain, I'm like, I could be partying, watching the Lions game, playing NBA 2K, porking, eating frozen pizza, eating wings, eating White Castles. Think about that. Those are all things. That's like what they're going to do. Any of those things in our lives, we can't really do any of those things. They're at the time of their life when there's a lot of temptations to not pay attention. So I don't blame the Gen Z stare. And I don't think it originated with Gen Z. That's a bunch of bullshit. It's a very real thing that's been going on for years. Anyway, they think it was happened around COVID, noticing an increasing amount of silence after asking questions in class. The stare may be an expression of authentic boredom and resistance to performative positivity. Susie Welch, an NYU business professor, argued the stare could be coming from Zoomers ranking achievement as a bottom tier value, linking the stare to quiet quitting. While deadpan has been around for generations, the blank stare might also be a manifestation of social anxiety developed during the enforced isolation of the COVID pandemic period. I don't believe any of that shit. I think whoever the asshole is who wrote that is looking way too hard into it. Becca Shea says, yeah, I remember doing that in the 80s. Of course. We did all the time. I say let them, you know. This is a great time for them. And they're slowly getting it. Give them a break. They're students. I just want to be friends with them all, and I want them all to do well. I want them to have a good experience. In fact, we're coming up on the point of the year when we're, as instructors, are going to get the mid-semester review. And it's anonymous, and they can talk shit about you. So if you're an asshole and you suck and they're not learning anything and they're in the dark and they feel like you're doing a horrible job of instructing them, you're going to find out. That's coming up. And so I hope I'm doing okay. I try to stay positive. I don't ever lose patience with them. In fact, I asked a question and I actually did get a response from one dude, and it was the wrong answer. So as he's giving me the wrong answer, it's 100% wrong. I have to figure out how to talk my way out of it without him getting bummed out. So I don't even remember what I asked, and I don't remember what his answer was. And I followed it up with, I go, yes, yes. You know, and while that's true in some circumstances, what I'm actually looking for here is a term called, and then, so that was the most polite way that I could have possibly, because he stuck his neck out there, and I appreciated him putting it out there, but I couldn't really go with that, you know? That's interesting. It's a dynamic. You got to be careful not to, like, step on a kid's soul. Let's see here. Thank you, Megan. I appreciate you very much. Megan with a great question, by the way. She says, will you read us the reviews? I would love that. I am going to look into that. I can't say for sure, but that's a great idea. Amanda's here. She says, damn, that's way better than what I would say when someone's wrong. Well, yeah, I know, but it's a setting that I have to consider their feelings. Man Bun Chris says, is it still Rate My Professor? I have heard about Rate My Professor. We need to investigate that to see how I'm doing on that. I don't know if they would put it out there yet. Probably have to wait till the end of the class to get a rating. That would crush my soul. I remember that a buddy of mine who is a mathematics teacher at Grand Valley, and he's one of those guys who, like, when I knew him more than I do now because time has passed, and he was a his kid and my kid played hockey together, so I would talk with his name was Matt, and he's a math teacher, and he found out about that Rate My Professor, and he was looking at it, and I was with him. I go, what is that? He goes, I don't know. And there was what looked like a little icon of a red chili pepper, like spicy chili. Hold on. Hey, you better not pee. I got my eye on you. And I go, so what's that? He goes, I don't know. And it's kind of like a little icon when you're looking at a menu and there's a little red pepper to indicate that it's spicy hot, you know? I go, what is that? And so Matt calls over his daughter, and she's like a teenager, and he mentions it to her, and so we're both there looking at it. She goes, uh-oh, that means that the students think you're hot. He's like, what? And so, oh my God. Right away, we're like, oh man, I hope that doesn't happen. As we talk, if you're listening to the audio podcast, this may be one of those moments where I'm stalling because the video may have barfed on the folks that are watching. I'm seeing various comments like weird glitch, connection froze, Twitch being Twitch, LOL, reload. He got unplugged from the Matrix. Sorry about that, folks. Anyway, my pal Matt was a hot tamale, according to the student body. Now, he was much younger. He was probably in his 40s then. And that's like a thing, you know? You get like 40-year-old college teacher and 20-somethings telling you you're hot. Yeah, I would imagine that all over the landscape of America, there are college teachers, single college teachers, laying pipe because of moments like that on Rate My Teacher. I just got news about Jimmy Kimmel last night. You may have seen the breaking news story that ABC said, hey, we're bringing him back. And so the show is returning tomorrow. And my first question is, well, what was the point of the last week if you suspended him indefinitely and then you bring him back? I just wish that I could know what was going on behind the scenes there in all of this. But, it's just remarkable to me that that this is now happening. Jimmy Kimmel is back, and I think a couple of the companies are actually not going to air the show. That's why I just got a tip off on that. Thank you to Megan for that. She writes, Nexstar's media group joins Sinclair TV stations in saying that it won't air Jimmy Kimmel's return to late night on its ABC affiliates. So that means that, yes, they're going to put it out, but the TV companies won't actually air it. And that's because they realize that if they get in the way of this, that they're going to be protested by a bunch of crazy MAGA supporters. And that's where that goes. So it's unbelievable. It's quite a story. So if you're Jimmy Kimmel now, maybe this is the end. I'm anxious to see what his show is like. I saw a quote by the person who's in charge of the FCC, who was appointed by Trump, that when this all got started, the quote was, we can do this the easy way or we can do it the hard way when it comes to Jimmy Kimmel. And I don't know, maybe this means that they're going to do it the hard way. But Jimmy Kimmel is coming back. I'm anxious to see this. More Trump news. Trump said, if you're pregnant, don't take Tylenol. And I don't know if anybody actually believes this. Do any of you MAGA supporters believe that Trump has done some research with Robert F. Kennedy and TV's Dr. Oz to determine that if you take Tylenol while you're pregnant, that you have increased the chances of your child of becoming autistic? I know I don't believe that. But let's take a look at this press conference. Thank you, Chris, for sending me these clips.
And hepatitis B is sexually transmitted. There's no reason to give a baby that's almost just born hepatitis B. So I would say wait till the baby is 12 years old and formed and take hepatitis B. And I think if you do those things, it's going to be a whole different, it's going to be a revolution in a positive sense in the country.
He sounds weird. I think he's talking about a vaccination at that point. Trump wrapping up his batshit news conference by insisting don't take Tylenol.
The research, a lot of what they've been speaking about comes from right here by research done by these people. And I just say it again. Don't take Tylenol. Don't take it. And don't give it to your child after your child is born. And do all those other things, little things, to spread out your visits, et cetera, on the vaccine. And I want to thank everybody. This is a very important day. Thank you very much.
Someone's shouting about Kimmel. Okay. What would you do if you were pregnant right now? Would you take Tylenol after Trump has just said that?
So I just want to say acetaminophen is basically Tylenol, essentially, because I noticed that term is used throughout this conference. So it's essentially Tylenol.
Okay, so I think he had wanted to say, all right, don't take acetaminophen. So he's saying don't take Tylenol. Then he's saying don't take acetaminophen. That's going to confuse these morons. Becca Shea says he said don't take hepatitis B.
And hepatitis B is sexually transmitted. There's no reason to give a baby that's almost just born hepatitis B. So I would say wait till the baby is 12 years old and formed and take hepatitis B. And I think if you do those things, it's going to be a whole different, it's going to be a revolution in a positive sense in the country.
And okay, he sounds
hepatitis
dumb.
B.
I'm sorry. You know, and I'm not even, I mean, I can make fun of Trump all day, but for obvious reasons. But this is just stupid. This is, he just sounds like a moron. There is no scientific evidence to back what he's saying. No one knows where it came from. But he's suggesting that that can be a cause. And he's also talked about there is another medicine. I don't know what the fuck it is that supposedly will cure some symptoms of autism. And nobody believes this. Nobody believes it at all. Tofus calls him a narcissist and a sociopath. And you don't explain rational thoughts with people like him. Yeah, he always comes off as batshit crazy. Amanda says, I thought it was universal that you're not supposed to give young kids Tylenol. Or is it you're not supposed to give young kids ibuprofen? Well, there is a children's Tylenol, at least when I was raising my kids. And it's fucking awesome because you got that dropper and it tastes like bubblegum. And they love it. They love taking the medicine. It's like delicious. Then you got to hide them because they want to drink it all, you know? Piano Finger Banger says, guys, I took a few Tylenol this morning, just enough for a day's worth of autism because it's trivia night at the bar and I want an edge. That press conference was almost as ridiculous as him describing that he's heard that you can inject bleach into your veins and wash the inside of your blood vessels with bleach when you have COVID. He actually suggested that. This is the same moron who says ivermectin is a cure for COVID. You remember those days? Who's the asshole that started that one? My God. Piano Finger Banger says, I hope Tylenol sues the shit out of him and his administration. Yeah, I don't know. I think that they would have the grounds for that. Megan says to Amanda, you can give children both of those things. Rebecca says the same thing, that Tylenol needs to sue him. All right. So that's ridiculous. That's what Trump was talking about the day before. We've got it. We've got autism figured out. Okay. It's that simple. You've done it. Make America not autistic again. We talked about this on the show. Most experts, physicians, clinicians agree that this so-called autism rate is not what it seems. Because Trump will tell you that however many years ago, one in however many 100,000 young people were diagnosed with autism, and now it's one in 30 or one in 15. That's because they know so much more about it, and they've added various conditions of children that fit under the autism spectrum or the or on the autism spectrum or under the umbrella of it. That's what's happening. This guy's an idiot. I'm just glad he didn't say something like chemotherapy causes autism. The whole thing was stupid. The Lions played yesterday, last night. And, man, I tell you what, I am really proud of myself because I can't tell you how many times that when there's a night game, like this was one of those Monday night games, that a Monday night game happens and then it's 8 o'clock and I'm all ready to go to watch the Lions. And then the next thing I know, I've watched the whole thing. It's midnight. I'm either super pissed or super excited and happy. And then I don't fall asleep till 1 or 2 because I'm wound up. Now, they kicked ass. They went into Baltimore and won. That's not an easy thing to do. Baltimore was very good. And the Lions beat the shit out of them. It wasn't nearly that close, 38-30. And that was that. Lions win it. And when I got out of class, it was 9:30. And I didn't even want to put it on the radio because I had committed to, I'm not watching a damn thing. This is a decision that you have to make when you're an old, mature person like your old pal EZ. Young people, Gen Z stare people, they get out of class. They're probably drunk by the time they walk in the door, and then they're watching the football game and playing video games and having sex. That's why they weren't interested in listening to my stupid lecture about dump buttons. What do I have to do? I cannot watch. I've got a full day of commitments today that I have to be behind. I need to be sharp. I'm doing a radio show. I have to do a podcast where it's just me, dogs, microphone, camera. Holy shit, what am I going to... I can't be sleepy. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.